Hey guys, what is up? This is Yannis and welcome to the Empowered Entrepreneur Podcast. Today we have a really interesting person joining us. His name is Christoph Heuermann, and basically it's really hard to define him, but take a taste of it. So he is a perpetual traveler. He is a digital nomad. He is a citizen of the world, an investor, a consultant, an entrepreneur, and also a person who traveled to more than 150 countries at the age of 27 years old. Christoph helps entrepreneurs in different areas of their lives, like investing, but also how to deal with their taxes. Christoph, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me, Johannes.
It's my pleasure. So for the people that don't know you, who are you and what do you do? And basically, what's your story, mate?
Well, it's a very long story, but I'm basically just a German guy. I'm traveling indeed for 5 years straight right now. I'm currently in Bermuda, the famous Tax Haven, one of my last countries I miss in the Americas. And yeah, both travel basically for pleasure, but also for business. So what I mostly do is helping people around the world to live a free life. It's not only about taxes, like avoiding tax, is one of the main things people come to me, but also very other aspects, just to be able to, do what you want in the most free way, to use your money wise, to protect it against whatever. So there are a lot of like different applications. So I more or less, I'm not a tax consultant. I never studied like tax law or something. I basically help people to become more free in all aspects of their life. It's basically lifestyle consultant what I'm doing.
That's beautiful. And I totally agree. I think that being able to really be free and travel the world and live your life is what life is all about at the end of the day. You know, entrepreneurs tend to think that running a business is about hustling and grinding, but I think that entrepreneurship is more than that. And I'd love to hear more from you about that later on. I think it's that, you know, entrepreneurship is also about being able to live on your own terms, having the freedom and doing what you really are supposed to be doing in this world. So I'm very happy you are here for the discussion today. My first question is regarding you call yourself a perpetual traveler and the citizen of the world. Would you mind share a little bit about this? Why people call you like that, and in general about the whole traveling and digital nomad lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the perpetual traveler basically is just a concept that you are not like bound to any system, that you just continuously travel, and basically by avoiding certain laws and thresholds, you are not considered tax resident of any country, or maybe you are considered, but you just chose the right country to be resident in. For example, my main residence is in Panama and Paraguay. Those countries don't tax me on my foreign income, and I can basically do what I want there as long as I don't do obvious illegal things. But mostly I don't even live in these countries. I just live in other countries. So I'm in Asia or in Africa or in Europe in summer. And work on my several projects. So basically perpetual traveling is just like a lifestyle concept. You can basically this abbreviation PT, you can also translate it to permanent tourist or prior taxpayer. So it's just like basically you optimize yourself in all aspects of your life. That's just like how I understand it.
All right, that's really interesting. I'm curious, what was the reason that you decide to take this road? Like, you know, many people, first of all, choose a 9-to-5 job, but also many entrepreneurs just simply prefer to work on their city where they were born and they knew everyone. What was the thing that pushed you to take this leap of faith and decide that, you know what, I'm going to travel the world and travel in every single country of the world?
Yeah, maybe related to your last question, my first business or my main project still is called Staatenlos. That's my German blog. Staatenlos translates to stateless. So basically, I'm perpetual traveler. I'm stateless, basically, not insofar as I like gave up my passport, because then I can't travel anymore. but that I'm like mentally freeing myself from the concept that everything I have, everything in my life is just bound in one state. That's basically the main reason behind it. The funny thing now is, that's why I mentioned it, I actually studied government science in university. I studied public administration and political science. And in that time, I was supposed to work actually for the United Nations or for the European Union. I found out in some uni seminars that there were some crazy people developing like theories about liberty, libertarians or even anarchists, and I got into that. I read a lot of books, I still do that. I meet a lot of people. There are not many libertarians, but it's growing. And so, yeah, slowly I got into like another mindset, and that first basically got me, yeah, changed my ideas what to do with my life. So maybe not working for government, maybe working for some liberty organization, still employed. But then I found out over some internships, for example, I worked in Brussels, I worked in Berlin in the German parliament as an internship. Oh, damn, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sit in that stupid office. I actually want to create something. I want to travel. So over the time, it took around 4 years, I decided myself to actually become self-employed. So I just used uni basically to not study, just to read on my own. So I read thousands of books. Probably I read 150 books each year at that time. And I just did the very necessary things to graduate. I graduated. The day after graduation, I deregistered in Germany and flew to Mexico. And then I had 6 months, Mexico to Colombia, traveling. And in that time, I basically set up my business, which is still running in German. And a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, I also started in English and Spanish. And now we do some other languages as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good to me. Let me ask you a question here. Obviously, you're doing the digital nomad lifestyle, which for many entrepreneurs is like a dream. And I want you to a little bit touch on the benefits of having this lifestyle. But also, I'd like you to focus on some negative things as well that the digital nomad lifestyle has. What are the pain moments? What are the failures? The things that people don't really talk about when you just travel the world and you're not based in some place?
Yeah, of course, all these people see my Instagram profile and all the beaches and so on, but they forget it can be quite hard if you need to sit in the basically in your home office and on your bed or on your chair and trying to work. And now I have the lucky situation I don't need to work, or I don't have to work at least much. I still do probably not a 4-hour work week, rather the 4-hour work day. But I mean, that's pretty nice. But in the beginning, of course, it wasn't like that. I still remember the times where I worked 16 hours a day in the beginning to make my thing happening. So you need a lot of discipline, and there's a lot of hard work to actually do it, at least in the beginning. And that's what many people don't see if they see all those nice pictures. And yeah, of course, can be other stuff as well. I mean, the nice thing in traveling for me is you can control how much you travel. Yeah, I travel a lot because I basically want to see every country of the world quickly before I'm 30. And then, of course, I still travel, but then I stay a couple of weeks or even months in a place I really like, which I already checked out. So for me currently, like a lot of people say, oh, you have any friends, you have a girlfriend. Of course, that can be a problem for me personally. Like my social relationships multiplied since I'm doing this. Of course, that has to do with it. I have a pretty interesting lifestyle. I show it openly, and I can help a lot of people. So it's quite easy for me to get approached by people. But of course, that's what you need to decide yourself. Like I'm more introvert person. I'm actually happy when I'm alone half of the year. And that's the only time where I actually get to do some work, because the other half of the year I'm just out drinking with friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Beautifully said. Totally agree on that, actually. I'm also an introvert, even though I've been trained to be able to, you know, be more extrovert as well when I have to. But to be fair, I really enjoy, you know, solitude and isolation and just be with myself. And it's a beautiful thing, especially, you know, when you have the time to reflect. Because I think that many business people, many entrepreneurs, what they need is this time, this me quote unquote me time, to where they simply, you know, sit down, strategize, analyze, think, and try to, you know, create the vision they have for their businesses. So being able to, you know, spend all this time alone, I'm pretty sure that has been one of the reasons why you are successful with what you do. Would you?
Yeah, I think it's also they're not that important that you travel like a lot. Of course, then you don't have much time in the office. But like this time I spend in the plane and the bus and so on, it's very important. Or even when I walk sightseeing, I'll probably do that after this podcast with you. It's very important to just strategize. To plan my next steps, to even like create some content in my mind, it's for me much easier to do when I'm just doing something else, not when I like actively have to sit in my office chair and basically try to think about it. It just comes naturally. It's like more spontaneous thing to happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I agree on that. I believe that you are one of the people that someone can say truly free. So you don't have a country to be bound to. You don't have a specific language. You don't have borders. You don't have problem with money. So you are overall free. So my question to you is, what is your definition of freedom? So what is the next? Like, do you believe that you are truly 100% free? Or how would you become more free than you are now?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty free. Freedom basically for me is a feeling. Basically, it's a life feeling. You just feel it, and I felt it a lot in my life that I wasn't really free when I was back in uni, when I was in school, when I was forced to go to school in Germany. Basically, I felt I was very unfree. And even sometimes in the last years, I made my like decisions. Which basically restricted me. Yeah, I still remember that time where I joined a group tour to the Dominican Republic to learn some dancing, bachata dancing. I like to dance, but I'm a very bad dancer. But then I was with this group and get this training all the time, and that was basically not very good. I couldn't really hold the pace with them. And I had to go with them and just sit there and watch and so on. And that was when my business was already quite successful. Yeah, it was just like opportunity cost. And then I said, maybe next time, better decision. And that's basically with every decision you make. Wrong decision can of course, rob your freedom. So you need to need plenty of time to make the right decisions.
Okay. You said it's 150 countries, right?
It's 150 countries and territories. So basically Bermuda, where I'm now, it's not considered a country. It still belongs to the UK, but it's their own jurisdiction, which is like own tax laws and so on. So that's important for me.
Okay. So can you like really randomly discuss to the people that are watching or listening to the podcast right now, few countries that you've been on, like, I don't know, your top 10?
Oh, that's, I've been to a lot of countries. I mean, you have to distinguish between countries I like to live in. Like for me in future, I'll probably stop traveling in 1.5 years because I've been everywhere. Then I just concentrate on the countries I like. And that's probably, it will be South and South America for half of the year. I really like Argentina or Chile or Paraguay even, where I have my residency. I also like Colombia. I have my main office with some employees in Medellin. And it's also a place I like to spend some time, plus Panama. And probably summers I would spend in Europe. I still like Europe. It's not a good place in my mind to be full-time resident now. But it's a good place to spend at least the sunny season of the year. So I will be sometime there. And then maybe sometime also in Australia, Asia, Africa. There's still plenty of places I haven't discovered. So yes. But like in terms of traveling, of course, there's another distinction. So I actually really like traveling in areas where no one really has set their foot in. For example, I celebrated this year New Year just 3 months ago in Nauru. Nauru is a little tiny island in the Pacific. It's its own state. No one knows it. Nice. It was once the wealthiest island of the world. Like they mine phosphate, but now it's pretty poor. Or just 3 weeks ago, it's 5 weeks now, I've been to Venezuela. So Venezuela, very big in the news, very hard protest. I was just there when they had like this big concert at the border and like this big protest and so on. So yeah, I thought, oh, maybe that's some risk. Maybe I don't get back. Then I even got like my flight was canceled, and with the energy, the power went out at immigration, and then we were stuck for 4 hours and things like that. But that's for me just what travel means, yeah. Just like getting out of your comfort zone and dealing with the unexpected. So for example, in 3 weeks I go to Somalia, to Mogadishu. So that will be very tough. I will get 4 private security guards.
Okay. Damn, that's interesting. That's interesting indeed. Okay, I definitely 100% agree with you on the Latin America part. It's one of the places that I love the most personally, and I have many friends from Latin America over here in the UK, and I have to say that it's really interesting, you know, how these people are like, you know, because of the weather, because of their lifestyle, they're really more loosen up and more chilled and more relaxed, and you can get so much energy by these people. That's nice. Now I'd like to tell me, okay, for the people that do have a business or do have a 9-to-5 job, or the people that want to start anyway somehow to do this digital nomad lifestyle, what are kind of the steps? What is like a strategy for a newbie who wants to, from being a resident on a specific country to suddenly start traveling the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right now I don't deal with like helping people set up a business. There are plenty of other nomads doing that. I help people who already have one to like structure themselves better. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's also a topic I like and we can speak about. So I think for many people it's just like a mental issue. Like for me, I had it myself. It was a big mental issue, a development over several years to actually get into that position to start thinking about forming your own company. And then it was a lot of research. Like I read a lot in my study times then about just understanding basics. I was studying political science. I had no idea how to run a business. So I just read plenty of books from a lot of disciplines, not only like economics and business administration, also like marketing and psychology and neurology, and then many other things, history, to just like get something in my mind, how to properly set up a business and run it in the first time. And then, of course, many people make the mistake, they read too much. So at some point, of course, you have to start. And so for me, it was just like basically what I said, yeah, I graduated my bachelor, then I did register and I had my flight ticket. And this is basically the point where I'm outside, where I'm far away from family, from friends. That's also a big topic. Even if you love your family and your friends, they often they even think it's good for you. And of course, they don't mean it evil. But I say, yeah, that won't work. Better don't try it. So it's probably good to just buy yourself a one-way ticket to someone no one knows you. There's also a big mistake. Another one, a lot of people in my mind make a mistake. They just fly to Chiang Mai or Bali to be surrounded with hundreds of other digital nomads. And they're in this bubble then, and that could be helpful potentially for business contacts and so on as well. But in my mind, it's easier or even better to just search the right people, like the right contacts you want. Like you just write interesting people for your podcast, right? And not just stumble accidentally into someone. You can still do it later, of course, which is nice. But in the beginning, I would say just fly somewhere where no one finds you, where you can 100% focus on your business. And then even if you still need money to survive with, I mean, as a freelancer, there's so many jobs available. And even if you like earn 10 bucks an hour, and you only need to work like 20 hours a week to get a decent living in South America and Southeast Asia and many other countries. Then if you're motivated, you still have at least 40 hours a week for your own business. Yeah. So nice. In my eyes, it's not that hard. And now we have so many opportunities around. And a lot of people always blame me when I say it, when I say, yeah, basically the money lies on the street. you just need to basically go down and levy it up. Many people just don't see it. They just watch on their smartphone all day, and then of course they don't see it. So
Most of the people want the easy way out. They want just, you know, something, and they also want the safety, and that's totally okay. You know, for some people, if they're happy with that, like 100%, but I personally believe, and I guess you believe as well, that there's more in life than just
There's other values for me. Freedom is, of course, much more important than safety. I had that issue with safety as well when I was basically having my business around 6 months. I did a lot. It was already starting to work. But I was basically living on credit card. I had 2,000 credit card debt. I didn't have any more money, all spent on travel. So that was basically the time where I had not traveled. I was living in Malta back then. And I actually stayed in Malta for 2 months. And I just wrote my first book, a lot of work. And basically when I published the book, it wasn't really successful, but it helped me to get by. And that really kick-started like all the other things I'm doing here.
Got it. You mentioned at some point the resistance that comes from the family members and from the social circle for an entrepreneur, I guess, in general, but especially for someone who chooses to, you know, leave the country, leave everything behind and just travel the world. Did you have this problem? And if you did, how did you manage to overcome the resistance that you face from your family members and from your friends?
Yeah, of course, you have it in the beginning, or even now. Like, I think my grandma still thinks I'm a drug dealer, but of course I'm not. So, I mean, I have a very good relationship to my family. In 3 days, my father joins me in Miami for a little cruise. So I basically used this situation I'm in now to just, have a nice time with my family. It's not that I can't visit Germany. I'm in Germany quite a lot, not quite a lot, but I'm like there 4 or 5 times a year for a couple of days, which is completely enough for me. Other things, of course, I can just invite them over. I travel like 3 or 4 weeks each year with my father. So he just has like he can leave Germany in his life. Yeah. So I probably see my family more than if I would be employed in Southern Germany. My family is in Northern Germany. So I think just like being very open about what I did helped a lot to just integrate them. And now they understand what I'm doing. They don't really understand how it works or how much money I make. But I say, yeah, this guy is still alive. He travels the world. He seems to be happy. And that's totally fine. And with friends, basically all my school or uni friendships don't exist really anymore. But I found a lot of other friends, not in quantity, also of course in quantity, but mostly in quality. Because you just got to know other entrepreneurs who are also nomads, who travel around, who have the same issues, same challenges, similar lifestyle, a lot of similar values and opinions. And of course, it's always good to have other opinions, to have some critics and so on. But it's also very valuable that you can just like rely on someone.
Yeah, totally agree. You've been traveling for a long time now and you visited so many countries. So my question to you is, what did, traveling the world taught to you? What did you learn? How did you grow from this experience?
Yeah, I already said, it helped me to push me out of my comfort zone. So I already mentioned I'm basically an introverted person. Many people don't think that initially, because I can be very open. I can be standing on the stage and doing a presentation in front of 500 people. I did that already. But it's not like how I grew up or how my personal development was. Even like 5 years ago in the uni, I remember I was totally panicked, totally nervous to do like a little 10-minute presentation in front of 5 people. So like this lifestyle, or even when I started with consulting, that's like the main story. I actually didn't start with telephone consulting. I was too shy. I didn't really want to speak to a stranger on the phone. Because I thought I wasn't ready for that. So I started actually with written consulting. I just did my written 3-hour analysis. And then only after time, it was basically, I thought, maybe 1-hour phone call would be more effective. And you can still charge the same or even more. So it was basically just, I had a lot of work. I didn't earn much back then, maybe like 3-hour analysis, 50 euros. So I thought, maybe make it 100 euros and just 1-hour call. And then you get by more easily. So it was basically laziness. And I think laziness is a very good, very, very good motivator for many entrepreneurs.
Why is that?
Yeah, you basically just, so of course, laziness coupled with discipline, basically. But you always try to have less work in that direction.
And let's see the other side of the coin now as well. Many things, you learned definitely many things from traveling, but you also had to deal with many failures, with many difficult times, with many pain moments. So what were those failures and how did you manage to overcome and become a victor and learn from them?
Yeah, I mean, that can be a lot of different things. I mean, if you travel, you have basically failures every day. Like I've missed, like I think in the last 2 months, I've missed 7 flights or something. Oh. Sometimes I was fault, sometimes the airlines were fault. So you just deal with it. And it's not a big issue. And that basically helps you with like all frustrations of life, and that you take it very easy and that you're not, that you don't give up that quickly. So I bet on everything which went wrong, I always found a solution sometime. Like last week, I was with my brother on a cruise ship. We rented a car. Then we got stuck in the sand. And then our cruise ship was basically going without us. We tried a lot. And then in the end, we managed it to get our convertible out of the sand, drive back, and just in time get the cruise ship. So you just have to be inventive and don't stress out if something unexpected happens, and then you can easily overcome it.
Got it. Okay, interesting. Wouldn't like me, being stuck in the sand when my cruise is leaving, definitely. But well done for making that to happen. Tell me, I know that you also help, you're involved a lot with taxes and register businesses based on, a tax system that will be beneficial for a business. I've heard about Estonia, for example, for the people that are in Europe, and everyone says, go to Estonia, register your business in Estonia, become an e-citizen of Estonia. Do you think that this is the best option? Do you think that people should see another alternative? And in general, what's your opinion about that?
Yeah, well, there's no best option because it's always very dependent on the client. Yeah, I like consulted over 1,500 clients personally, and every one of them has different situation, different desires, different goals. Also, like what he wants to do now, what he wants to do in a couple of years, what he wants to do at the end of life. So you really have to adapt the best solution to everyone. So I could say Estonia probably at the moment is one of the best company formation options in Europe, definitely, but it's not for everyone. It can be used for everyone, but of course there might be always better options. So Estonia is nice. For example, they have this e-residency, so you can just like operate and even form a company online from everywhere in the world. That's not the only interesting thing. The interesting thing is they have this, but they also have a very interesting tax system. And now you can basically operate an Estonian company almost tax-free. That makes it quite interesting. But that only works if you're not living in the EU anymore, for example, because all these countries, England, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and so on, they have laws against operating an Estonian company or any foreign company if you just live there. So if you just like a letterbox, they probably tax it like a local company. To avoid that, then you need the office there, you need employees, and then, of course, it gets more complicated. There are a lot of options in every country. I have lots of English clients as well, but you always have to adapt it like to where you're living, to your citizenship, and to basically all the flags I speak about, so-called flag theory. Yeah, and there are 265 sovereign jurisdictions in the world. That's basically all I want to visit. And that makes it, a lot of selection, a lot of opportunities you can use. So it doesn't get boring. That's the main thing. I'm doing this and I have a lot of fun with it because it's so exciting and so many opportunities. And then every week something changes and some new regulations comes out. But I have a lot of fun with the European Union and some countries at the moment because they just don't let the business boring. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I guess it's a lot of work, so it makes sense that you really are in love with all those legislation and all those laws, because otherwise you wouldn't spend all this time, and that's something I really admire to someone. Another question regarding taxes is, in general, like, I know that this depends a lot of where you live in and what's your business about, but as generic as you can, how would you advise someone? What actions would you advise someone to do and take in order to minimize taxes as much as possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of levels how to achieve it. Often the easiest option is to relocate. So if I'm in a high-tax country, then of course I can relocate to a low-tax or zero-tax one and get rid of all my problems. And relocation doesn't mean I need to live there actually. Can also mean I have like my main residency there. I don't even need a house there. Maybe I visit for holidays a couple of days a year, but I still live part of the time in my home country. So that wouldn't work if like you stay in the UK all the year and have some like residence in Panama, UK will still tax you, of course. Mm-hmm. But for example, if you only live 4 months or something in the UK, probably the UK can't tax you because they just have a rule. They can only tax you if you live there 183 days. Well, the UK is another topic. It's not working like that. But in many countries, it's basically a 183-day rule. If you stay, if I would stay less than half a year in Germany, I could still live there half a year without any issues. And then I've lived maybe 6 months in Austria and I'm resident in Panama. I still don't pay taxes to neither Germany or Austria, like direct taxes.
Okay.
That's only one level, of course. Then you can consider, you're a resident in one country, but you might form like your company in another country, like a resident in the UK, but you form your company in Ireland. Or you structure it over like other entities. It's not a company which owns, or it's not you who owns the company. You have a foundation or a trust or association or any other kind of entity who owns it. So that gets more complicated. That's like the topic of asset protection. That's also something I'm doing.
And your consulting is on this exactly topic. So basically, what is your consulting about?
Well, the main topics are basically I consult self-employed people and online entrepreneurs who either want to relocate or want to save taxes. And if they want to relocate, it's often about taxes, but of course, a lot of other things as well. And then it's some people want to travel, some people want to have a base and travel, some people want to relocate and live in that country all the year. So of course, it's also very different and desires. And then it's a lot what I do about like asset protection, like people who have money, but who want to protect it. Actually want to invest it in like projects which generate more revenue. I mean, like getting bank interest is probably negative very soon. So it's just people just try to do other things. And then right now it's also about like outsourcing, like where maybe set up office with employees. Basically what I do is everything related to the lifestyle of entrepreneurs. My typical client has between 100,000 and 1 million a year. Sometimes I have much richer people, but that's like what I tried to achieve in the beginning, and that's what almost no one else is doing, like caring for the people who make good money, like for lifestyle designer, lifestyle entrepreneurs, but who would never go like to the high-paid, big tax consulting companies like Ernst & Young and so on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I remember from reading Rich Dad Poor Dad that they say that rich people don't pay taxes. And it was quite bold statement for me. I was like, whoa, like really? But in general, I want you to tell me a little bit about how can someone use investment in order to reduce his taxes?
Again, investment to reduce taxes?
Yeah, like I'm not sure how this works, but like it is correlated with real estate. Mm-hmm. So that you don't pay really taxes if you start investing your money there, because your money are bound to the actual real estate.
Yeah, I mean, that depends, of course, always on your personal situation. But if you have like a business, you have a lot of income, then you can use the same business to just like buy houses or agricultural land or whatever. And some situations that might like that you reduce your tax bill, the amount you have to tax in the end. And some it won't, but then maybe you get like a high loan to like finance this this real estate, and then the interest you pay you can deduct from your business. So there are a lot of opportunities, of course. So that's what some clients of me do at the end of the year. Yeah, they have to pay a lot of taxes. So they say, actually, I am now buying a couple of hectares of farmland in Paraguay to make a cattle farm or to grow some trees. And actually, they can use that to basically reduce their taxable earnings. Then, of course, when the investment bears fruit in a couple of years, they have to tax it again in the company. But basically, they can just move it forward to the next year, to the next year, to the next year, just reinvesting, and don't stop reinvesting. Yeah? So you can do that, even high-tax jurisdictions sometimes, and don't pay taxes, or very little taxes. Yeah.
Got it. Perfect, Christoph. I now want to just ask you the classic five questions that I always ask to the entrepreneurs that come on the show. First question, who is your role model? And if you ever meet him or her in real life, what would you ask?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I wouldn't say I have one particular role model, but I have a couple of like entrepreneurs still living, which I really admire. Like one is, for example, Peter Thiel. I think most people know him, but he's also a libertarian like me. He has a lot of creative projects in his mind, and some I'm involved in. And I probably just ask him how he sees the world, what he recommends me to read, to understand the world as he does, to like be able to meet the same decisions or similar decisions applicable to my life. Yeah.
What was the name? Peter Attia?
Peter Thiel.
Thiel. You
know, from PayPal.
Okay.
Thiel. Or for example, there's this other guy, Mark Spitznagel. It's like a famous hedge fund investor from the US, also libertarian, who wrote one of my favorite books. It's called The Tao of Capital. Also very nice to read for investing. So it's mostly also entrepreneurs or investors who just have like very brilliant minds in my mind, where I read a lot of books, but of course I would like to meet them and ask them even more about specific topics.
Got it. Cool. Another thing that I personally believe in, that is one of the things that helps someone to become really successful and create the discipline that is needed and everything, is daily habits. Do you have any kind of morning routine that you follow every single day? Do you have any habits that you follow every single day? And if yes, what these are?
Yeah, the thing is, like, my life is very different every day, yeah? Because I'm traveling, I sometimes wake up every second day somewhere else. So, of course, it's hard to, like, incorporate, like, daily habits in your life. So, basically, my main habit is actually traveling, yeah? What I used to do is meditating. I don't do it every day, but I do it regularly. And what I mostly like to do, which is perfectly going with traveling, with exploring new places, is just I basically every day I have my walk. Sometimes in the morning, mostly in the late afternoon, evening, I have my walk around 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, which I just use to contemplate. I don't stay on my phone all the time. I just walk around. Think about the day, about the plans for the next days, and so on. That you could say is a daily habit. Mm-hmm. Just like walking and thinking about my life.
I agree. That's a nice one. Self-reflection, after all. Super important. Favorite quote?
Oh, favorite quote. Oh, God. I got a lot of quotes in my mind. There's one on my blog. I don't know the right quote, but it's going like this. Something like, you have to invent the world yourself. And not wait for others, invent it yourself.
Yeah. Nice.
I don't even know who said that, but that's basically my main strategy is basically, I studied political science, I worked even in the parliament and so on. For me, freedom is never achievable politically, because just the majority of people want safety, not freedom. That's okay. But I want freedom, so what do? Of course, I can educate people. That might work in the long term, but it doesn't work now. So, the main solution is invent something. Either invent good strategies, like I do, or invent new technology, like the blockchain, crypto, and so on, or invent other projects which can provide more freedom. For example, Peter Thiel, I just mentioned him. He's very into seasteading. Seasteading is basically the idea to colonize the oceans, because the oceans are international seas and no one lives there. So no states owns them. And I'm currently involved in a project just doing that off the coast of Thailand. Or there's the idea of so-called free private cities. Also basically the idea to make a special zone, which is completely autonomous, even over law and security, and get a lot of freedom-minded people there. It's also a project I'm involved in. It's currently happening in Honduras. So a lot of different things. Just do it yourself.
I like that. Do it yourself. I like that. For sure, mate. 100%. Nice one. Okay. My next question is regarding you and your younger self. So let's suppose that I have magic capabilities. Okay, I'm a magician. And right now, with doing this, I take you back in time and you meet your younger self. What would you say, what would you advise to a young Christoph who is like 18 years old?
Yeah, I would probably say not much, because I always said I was always very stubborn. Yeah, I always wanted to go my own way. So I would probably encourage him to do that, to be integral to yourself and to just follow your mind. And back when I was 18, I was basically a bad student in school, playing computer games 100 hours a week. And actually, I don't want to miss that time. That teach me a lot of nice things, which I can still use today in my business. I wouldn't if my younger son, if there's one soon, I wouldn't say oh no, you're not allowed to play computer games. I think that's a very important part of development of many men, which can be very beneficial, but only if you get out of it early enough. So basically for me, all the crazy computer gaming basically ended after school. After school, I didn't even tell that. I was 1 year in New Zealand for voluntary service before I studied. And then that time, and basically I made just one simple decision. I didn't buy a new laptop. I just bought a Chromebook. And I use Chromebook since, because on Chromebooks, you can't really game. You can just work.
Oh, yeah. That's a smart trick, man. That's really nice. Okay, good one. Cool. Hey, what advice? So, the people that are watching and listening to the Empowered Entrepreneur podcast are entrepreneurs who want something more out of their lives. What would you advise the people listening to the podcast right now? Your one advice, only one advice. What would that advice be?
Yeah, that would probably be to really deeply hear into yourself what you really want to do with your life, and really get everything out which is not associated to your true self. Yeah, not everything your wife says or your your children might expect from you, or your family has to do with it, or business partners, or whatever. Really, what is your own like inner desire? And I mean, think lots of people never did that. Lots of people don't know that. Lots of people don't do these walks. I do basically. Don't have time actually in their like stressful, hectic lifestyles, both as employed or as entrepreneurs, to actually do that. But if they don't do it, if they don't know it, of course they make a lot of false decisions, because like the main originating principle is just wrong. Yeah.
Nice. I agree. Okay, one last question, and this comes from someone else who invited me on his podcast, and I talk, and I will do that from now on with people on my show as well. Your German is good enough, I think, right? You speak fluently.
I speak fluent German, English, and Spanish. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. For the German people that listen to the podcast, would you just give them one advice in German? In 1 minute, not more than that. So we can.
Okay. Yeah, das mache ich sehr gerne, weil Deutschland leider zum Scheitern verurteilt ist. Ja, das heißt, wenn ihr in Deutschland lebt, dann solltet ihr euch echt überlegen, was euch noch an Deutschland hält. Deutschland kann nett sein, ihr könnt, wie gesagt, auch 6 Monate im Jahr in Deutschland verbringen. Mehr als von Juni bis September macht das eh keinen Sinn. Geht lieber raus aus dem Land, nutzt eure Möglichkeiten im Ausland, steuerfrei und ohne Buchhaltung, viele neue Kontakte. Und wir haben schon noch Zeit, Deutschland zurückzuerobern. Aber macht das mit Geld, mit einem schönen Leben, mit vielen Kontakten. Und lasst euch nicht aufreiben.
I didn't understand a thing.
Yeah, I didn't ask you if you understand German. That would be weird. But I had a nice message on my fellow Germans there.
Perfect, perfect. Amazing. Christoph, thank you so much for your time. Now, for the people that want to reach out to you, that want to get to know you, that want to ask you a question, or that want to work with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
We had a couple of opportunities. So I have my blogs. I have a personal blog where I basically also report about all my travels. So already over 70 articles there. It's called Christoph.today. It's also like my travel plan is there. If someone wants to join me on my travels or visit, many other information. And it also links to like all my business projects. So I have my blogs. The German one is called startenlos.ch. But more interesting is definitely the English one. It's called tax-free.today. And you'll find lots of free content about basically everything I do. And also, information to other projects that I do. I didn't even mention in this blog, like I do investing in walnuts in Georgia. I have Airbnb business with friends in Vienna. I have this free private city thing. So there's plenty of other projects you can inform yourself about on my web pages. And of course, yeah, feel free to add me on Facebook. I just reached the 5,000 friend limit, so you can just follow me, I think. But you can write me on Facebook, on the address provided on my website, whatever.
Perfect.
And feel free to just ask me a question. Yeah, I don't charge you 500 euros when you just have a little question. Basically happy to answer every question. I still do that. If it takes me less than 5 minutes to answer, provide every advice for free.
Amazing. Thank you so much for all the value and all the beautiful advice. Definitely, I will have all your links on the description above or below. Depends on where you guys listen or watch to the episode right now. Christoph, thank you so much for your time and your beautiful advice. And for all of you that are listening to this podcast, I'll see you all in 1 week from now with another guest and another episode. Until then, make sure to go full, go all in into your life, enjoy life, travel the world, and live as free as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was very nice to speak with you.